The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I think the defense did a really effective job essentially saying the idea that these records were falsified is, in their words, just absurd.
When the jury decides, it decides. Everybody in the system knows that's final, putting aside the appeal that you just discussed, Joe. And that's okay. We live with it. That's our system. Whether acquitted or convicted, the jury has spoken, and we must accept that. All citizens must accept that.
The burden of proof is an important one to remind everyone. It's on the prosecution, right? They need to prove beyond reasonable doubt that he committed, that Donald Trump broke the law. And you think, after listening to all of this, you think they fell short. How?
They fell way short. There is reasonable doubt all over this case. Where is Keith Schiller? Where is Alan Weisselberg? How did Michael Cohen get away with stealing $30,000? Hold a pity party for him. Made $4 million on this. Thought he'd be chief of staff. He's a fixer. If the plumber comes to my house to fix my leak, I could be home. That doesn't mean I know how he's doing it and what it's taking to be fixed. Stormy Daniels, let's hold a pity party for her. It's simply about, did the former president know that books, his records, false entries, for legal fees, Michael Cohen was his lawyer. Did he intend to cover up the election or to protect his family? It's everywhere.
Make no mistake about it. I'm here because of crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroying our country. And he's also destroying it with weaponization. And this is purely his weaponization. See who's in the courtroom. You go, just see who's in the courtroom. You'll see. And you'll see where they come from. And if you report it accurately, a lot of people are going to be very upset. But this is all election hunting, election interfering. It's going after Joe Biden's political opponent because he can't do it himself. And they're helping out. Except we have a judge who's corrupt. We have a judge who's conflicted. You know what the conflict is. So do I, but I can't say it because I'm under a gag order, which is another unconstitutional thing. You ever hear of a president, leading candidate, leading Biden, leading everybody? And I'm a gag order. I'm not allowed to speak. It's a first. No president has not been allowed to speak. But this is it. Read the cover today of the New York Post. Read all the stories in the New York Post. Everybody says this is crazy. This is not the trial that should happen. It's a very sad day. This is a dark day in America.
He makes a good point about just look at the people attending the show trial. I saw a video clip of someone following all of these MSNBC reporters into the courtroom. Do you think they're going to flock to the courtroom where Hunter Biden is to be tried? His is starting in a few days, too, as I recall. Do you think that's going to get the media publicity that this show trial has gotten? Even some, and of course, we can cherry pick just like anybody else. There's plenty that say there's overwhelming evidence. I just had Drudge up here for a second. The Trump judgment looms. Evidence is overwhelming. Well, you heard one more honest who said there in the cold open that, hey, there's reasonable doubt all over the place. It's everywhere in this case. But we'll find out soon what this Manhattan jury is going to decide. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on the show today. So much going on. So much going on campus. So much going on in the world. And a lot going on today's show. You can get to the live show, the live stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com, or go over to the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Just a little bit of housekeeping first with respect to Celtic Throne. They are on the road today after another successful show last night in Mobile, Alabama. Hopefully we'll have some feedback. We don't have it for today's show, but hopefully we'll have that for tomorrow. In any event, evidently the stage was a little bit more cramped, and the backstage area in particular. So the performers were running, in some cases, outside the theater to get to another door and so on. But my wife tells me this morning that everything went smoothly nonetheless. So another raucous crowd watching Celtic Throne. And the next stop is at Fort Myers, Florida, where we've got nearly 1,200 people that have already secured their seats. So it's going to be the largest audience that we've ever had for a Celtic Throne performance. Just go to CelticThrone.com to get all the information you need about the next three shows that are going to be in Florida. After that, there's one in Atlanta, there's one in Nashville, and then we go to the Southwest a few weeks later. So CelticThrone.com. I think this first clip that we can play, this is, I believe, a Trump attorney, Catherine Levitt. She's commenting outside the courthouse yesterday. Clip one.
What you just heard from is a desperate and failing and pathetic campaign who knows that they are losing. Joe Biden's sending his campaign outside of this criminal courthouse. It is a full-blown concession that this trial is a witch hunt that comes from the top, comes from Joe Biden, and he is using a far-left district attorney in this city, Alvin Bragg. This case would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America. Legal scholars on both sides of the aisle, even liberal legal scholars, agree. There is no crime. There is no case. But Joe Biden knew he could use Alvin Bragg, who is sitting in that courthouse today, wasting away the tax dollars of the hardworking people of this city, to go after Joe Biden's political opposition. And the man overseeing this case is a corrupt and highly partisan and crooked judge who is highly conflicted for reasons that President Trump can't even talk about, because this judge imposed an unconstitutional gag order on the former president of the United States and the leading frontrunner in this election. This is a disgrace. President Trump has been locked up in that courtroom for 6 weeks. But guess what? The American people see through this witch hunt and this scam. And that's why President Trump continues to rise in the polls. President Trump is backed by the hardworking men and women of this country. And I could not help but laugh when Joe Biden's spokesperson actually came out here and said, accused President Trump of being the threat to democracy. Joe Biden is the real threat to democracy. He is weaponizing our justice system. Look at all of you. This is a communist show trial. There are real problems in America, and you are all out here covering this.
A communist show trial. Well, where have you heard this before? I can refer you to America Under Attack, and also he was right. Herbert Armstrong was talking about the communist infiltration of America as early as the 1940s and 50s, if you can believe it. And then, of course, in America Under Attack, I mean, we give you the full story of what's happened here these past, what is it, 10, 12, 15 years. I mean, the fundamental transformation since 2008. Barack Obama, he vowed to fundamentally transform America. And so here's Joe Biden, or Joe Bama. And for what? The last year, he said, hey, we have nothing to do with this. This is separate and apart from the White House. This is the DOJ. I mean, they're just looking into crimes, right? Even though there's been a revolving door at the White House for all these prosecutors to come in and out to receive their marching orders. Well, yesterday, they took the masks off and they said, yeah, here we are. We're the Biden people. We're showing up at the circus trial. And we're going to have a press conference here. Why? Well, because all the press is here. So we're here to answer some questions. They were there to reveal that this was a show trial from the beginning. And this was ordered by Barack Obama's White House. He's running the show. I mean, even Dennis Quaid said yesterday, we'll play clips of him later, that Biden's not running the show. Forget about Robert De Niro. And what a disgrace. This poor man, you know, walking up to the press with Joe Biden's spokesperson, along with these two corrupt Capitol Hill police officers, one of them looking like a prison inmate instead of a police officer. And De Niro showing up with a mask on. These are the people. I guess he's the only one in the crowd with the mask on to save grandma, right? These are the people that want to destroy Donald Trump, even as they talk about saving democracy. as someone was saying on one of the shows last night. I mean, they're going about it this way because they can't get the Democratic support that Donald Trump is getting. They can't get the votes. And so to hear them go on and on about the death of democracy, even as they try to throw their political opponent in jail, of all things. Listen to the Biden spokesperson outside, or across the street, I guess, from the courtroom yesterday, clip two.
Would you consider Trump a threat to all these wars Biden has gotten us into?
Any media questions?
Is this a weaponization of the Justice Department, sir?
Any media questions?
You want to answer the real questions, only the fake news?
Is this a weaponization of the Department of Justice? He just won't answer them. They're there to take questions from their favorite reporters. It's funny how crazy it is, how much of a spectacle it is when they don't have the script. Robert De Niro comes out and he's kind of trying to read along according to his notes while the hecklers are shouting in the background and car alarms are going off. It really was sad to see these people. You see how desperate they are. You see how far behind. You just look at the press conference that they held yesterday, and you see how far behind they are in the polls. Switching over to the other side of the street, here's Eric Trump making some comments after yesterday's proceedings. All the final arguments had been concluded, or this might have been at a break during the middle of the day, but this is clip three.
They're sitting there, they're laughing. They're giggling. This was their moment. This is how they embarrassed Donald Trump. This is legal lawfare. All while this state absolutely melts. Everybody that sits here right now, every single one of you, knows that this is not the same state that we knew 10 years ago. Now, knew it was not the same state as we saw 5 years ago. You have total degradation of New York State because the only thing that Alvin Bragg wants to do, only thing that Letitia James wants to do, is criminally prosecute Donald Trump. And they're doing it for one reason. They're doing it because they have a political vendetta. Because Biden is incompetent. And he's losing in all the polls. Across the board, he's losing in every quantifiable metric. Our country is going to hell. And this is their answer. Go after him for $130,000. The entire country knows that this is nonsense. They don't buy it. A poll just came out from the New York Times. Even Democrats, the vast majority of Democrats, know that this case is a sham. And I think we're going to prevail. And I'm just proud of the toughest person I've ever met in my entire life, for having the backbone and fortitude to go through this whole mess as uncomfortable as it's been. And I'm proud to have stood there every single second by his side in that freezing cold courtroom against unthinkable odds and a corrupt judge and people making a lot of money and this political witch hunt. He's an inspiration to me every single day, and he'll be vindicated.
He will be in the end. But with a judge like this and laying out the jury instructions, this morning, in fact, tightening the parameters, saying, hey, you don't really need to see a crime here. That was brought out the other day. Here's what you need to look for. And through it all, Judge Mershon, basically any objection the defense had, he just shut it down. I mean, it was clear from the beginning. That's why it wouldn't be surprising at all if they did convict. And then what's going to happen right after that? You're going to see him skyrocketing in the polls again. I love the recent, you know, positive at that Bronx message. President Trump talked about success and just getting the country back on track. And then you hear Eric Trump there yesterday talking about his father being the most courageous man he's ever known. I mean, this is inspiring in many ways, as much as they've faced so much persecution from this communist attack, as Trump's attorney brought out. And yet they have the fortitude, they have the courage to stand strong, and they're staying in the fight. It's pretty amazing to watch. At Axios, it says the Biden campaign enlisted Robert De Niro and two January 6 police officers to draw a stark contrast with Donald Trump's campaign during a press conference outside the courtroom where the former president is listening to closing arguments in this historic criminal hush money trial. It says, why does this matter? Biden's team did not directly comment on the ongoing trial during the press conference, But it's still a significant moment for a campaign that has largely stayed away from Trump's criminal case. Even Axios, I mean, they're on Biden's side, but even Axios has said, you know, the Biden team, they haven't commented much on the Trump. But lately, you see, they can't help themselves. You remember when Biden was challenging Donald Trump to a debate? He said, hey, why don't we do it on a Wednesday? I hear you're free on Wednesdays. That's the day that they don't have court. So he's taunting him. And then the Biden spokespeople show up with the Hollywood actor that can't make movies anymore. And then two January 6th Capitol Hill police officers who hate Trump. As I say, they've basically said, okay, yeah, this is all about lawfare. We're doing this to try to keep him from becoming president again. Listen to a little bit from Robert De Niro yesterday, clip 4.
I love this city. I don't want to destroy it. Donald Trump wants to destroy not only the city, but the country, and eventually he could destroy the world. But we vowed we would not allow terrorists. I owe this city a lot. And that's why it's so weird that Donald Trump is just across the street. Because he doesn't belong in my city. I don't know where he belongs, but he certainly doesn't belong here. Trump bought their votes with outrageous lies and empty promises. He got the most religious evangelicals to applaud a sinner who bragged about sexual assault, and who just a couple of blocks from here, a jury found him liable for sexual abuse. Somehow, he even got self-styled patriots to support a man who called for terminating the Constitution, and on January 6th, rallied an angry mob to threaten democracy, leaving death and destruction in its wake. That's why I needed to be involved and wanted to be involved in the new Biden-Harris ad, because it shows the violence of Trump and reminds us that he'll use violence against anyone who stands in the way of his megalomania and greed. Under Trump, this kind of government will perish from the earth. I don't mean to scare you. No, wait, maybe I do mean to scare you. If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave. You know that. He will never leave.
He left in 2020. So he's proven that was after the 2021, I guess, to be precise. That was after the election was stolen from him. And he tried to expose the stolen election. And he didn't get enough support, pure and simple. And then what did he do on January 20th, 2021? He left. And these are the same people that are concerned about a tweet or a post on Truth Social. I should have brought the one that Donald Trump posted after this man's little lecture. He's going to destroy New York City. He's going to destroy the nation. He's going to destroy the world. Who comes up with this? Who wrote this? This is a man who's been reading scripts his entire life. You know, someone brought out a good point last night. I think it was on Fox News. If you remember, in the lead up to the 2020 election, they had, I forget, we played part of it on this show, I believe, but they had like 20 or 25 Hollywood celebrity actors just going on and on about how we need to vote for Biden and this and that and the other. And this time around, you've got Robert De Niro. Who else? Who else is lining up to give their strong endorsement for Joe Biden? The line isn't as long. You see him, and then you see Dennis Quaid, and he's there with Pierce Morgan saying, yeah, I'm going to vote Trump. You know what's going to happen in these next few months? I think you're going to see more Hollywood celebrities coming out from the shadows, coming out of the closet to reveal that they in their heart of hearts, they're Republican, or at least this time around, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. They see what's happening across the country. They see the widespread support that's there for Donald Trump. That was Axios, that last bit that I gave to you. This is National Review's take. And again, they're no friends of Trump, really. Trump was against everyone, left and right, coming into 2020, or at least coming out of that election that was stolen. Remember Fox News and all of them that just said, hey, we need to move on. We got to forget about what happened in the 2020 election, and we got to move forward, and we've got to find someone other than Trump. And they were so excited about DeSantis and then Haley. And now here we are back to Trump. And we said from the get-go, I mean, the day after the steal, we said that Trump's coming back. And look at where we are today. It's just pretty amazing to watch. This guy tweeted out at National Review, explain to me how under Shepard versus Maxwell, I'm not familiar with that case, a criminal defendant's right to a fair trial isn't violated when the president of the United States sponsors a press conference outside the courthouse the day before the jury begins deliberations to demand a conviction. That was the whole point, besides to capitalize on the publicity. They see, I mean, look, these Biden spokespeople, they see the political story from the other day basically saying that Democrats are panicking or they want to get rid of Biden. So here comes the Biden team to intimidate the jury. It's all that they have left. Well, they've probably got more. I'll come to a story on that a little bit later. But here they are intimidating the jury, wanting to send Donald Trump to prison and saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Listen to Steve Hilton at Fox News, clip 8.
It seems, John, every single day that these proceedings go on, the judge and the prosecution just go out of their way to prove Trump's point that this is totally rigged and biased and that the whole thing is entirely political. And, you know, I keep reflecting on the fact that we have all these people, Robert De Niro and all the rest of it, going on and on about how Trump is a threat to democracy and all these things that they constantly lecture us about. Well, when you think about what's going on here, this blatantly political prosecution brought by an elected politician, a far left politician, for purely political reasons, and you think, well, who else has done that recently? Vladimir Putin, right? That's what he did this year to get people off the ballot in his presidential election. So now you have Joe Biden behaving like Vladimir Putin, Alvin Bragg behaving like Vladimir Putin. The Democrats have become the Putin party for all their lectures about the rule of law and democracy. It is unbelievable to watch.
He's exactly right. They're the Putin party. How can you forget the Obama leaning over to Medvedev? What was that, 2012? Saying, yeah, if I win the re-election, I'll have a little more latitude for Vladimir. I mean, that was scandalous. That hot mic comment. And so for the last, 10, 12 years, I guess not that long, but since 2016, 8 years, Trump, Russia. And here they're using all of these communist tactics to try to put their political opponent behind bars. And as Hilton brings out, that's what Putin does. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. They thought it's another example for Joe Obama of something that they thought would be a great idea. Hey, let's show up right across the street from the courthouse. Let's send out Biden's spokesperson, and let's have Robert De Niro join him, a Hollywood actor, and that'll go great. Look at how the regime media responded. If you can't get Mika over at Morning Meltdown to support this approach or this strategy, you know it's backfiring yet again. In spectacular fashion. This is clip 9.
Do you think that it's smart for the Biden campaign to be outside the courthouse talking politics?
But I suspect that Robert De Niro, who's a New Yorker, went to the trial in part because there's so much press there.
I guess I have to ask you why you decided to speak there and to have the campaign show up at the courthouse. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me at all.
We showed up there because the news media has been incessantly posted up there day in and day out for weeks. And yesterday, they were speaking to the fact that Donald Trump still regularly embraces political violence, is calling for a bloodbath if he loses this election, and is pledging to rule as a dictator on day one. And so given Michael, that the news media
Michael,
is
I get everything that you're saying, Michael. Michael, I get everything you're saying, and I agree with the officers who showed up and with Robert De Niro, but I'm just curious about the location, since they're not supposed to politicize a court proceeding. And I feel the same way about the campaign. Is there any concern about the campaign getting a little bit too close to these court proceedings, and could that backfire? Any concerns? Looking back, was it a good decision?
No, there's no concern. This campaign is not speaking about the substance of the trial in any way, shape, or form.
Democrats face. And now you have Joe Biden saying he's going to comment on this trial from the White House. Not to mention the fact he went out today and had like a campaign rally with Robert De Niro kind of brushing Trump back and trying to go after Trump. He has made this political a massive misstep by the Biden campaign and the Biden White House. It reeks of unfairness. The American people reject that in all forms.
Yeah, stupid mistake by the Biden campaign. They wanted to get, while all the cameras were there, they wanted to get their moment in the sun. And it was a big mistake. It politicizes the trial. Better to have waited. And then what was said, with all due respect to Mr. De Niro, who's a wonderful, wonderful actor. I mean, really, the people up for grabs in this election, are they going to be Donald Trump wants to destroy New York, destroy America, and destroy the world. And if you reelect him, he's never going to leave office. He's going to make himself a tyrant for life. Are those the kind of credible statements that are going to cause people who don't like Biden and don't like Trump but are trying to figure out who to vote for? Are they going to cause people to say, well, geez, you now told me he wanted to destroy our country? Of course he did.
As I said, if you can't get Mika on board with it, you know it's failing. Politico says here, if the jury convicts Trump, Biden's team will then argue that the results shows Trump is ill-suited for office and that it demonstrates the extremes to which the former president would go to win again. The campaign's social media team is considering leveraging the line of attack further, with discussions underway about referring to the ex-president online as convicted felon Donald Trump. It's all about politics. Even Mika can see this. Even Mika, you're not supposed to politicize a court proceeding. So Biden's people can come up and say whatever. Trump has a gag order. Trump has to be careful how he words anything when he comes out of that courtroom. People see how unfair it is. And you've got a few honest commentators, which is a little refreshing. One on, what was it, CNN? A massive misstep by the Biden team over at The Federalist. It says, President Joe Biden's reelection campaign sent special guests to stump for the incumbent on Tuesday outside the Manhattan courthouse. It says, Politico reported that Biden will comment from the White House on the impending verdict in the show trial once it's delivered. So you've got the campaign rally, basically, from the spokesperson De Niro and the two Capitol Hill cops. And now you've got, I guess, an Oval Office speech from Joe Biden, the fake president. It makes you wonder if they know something we don't. I don't know why you would give an Oval Office speech if you knew it was going to be an acquittal or a hung jury. Or maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe they're just assuming that, well, there's going to be a conviction here. In any event, Joe Obama's preparing for a big speech from the White House to comment on, what was it, the convicted felon Donald Trump. That'll be the new nickname that they give him. It'll be funny to watch that fall by the wayside, just like the other nicknames. The only one that can make nicknames stick is Donald Trump. He's pretty talented at that. Politico reported that Biden will comment from the White House. We read that. It says the campaign enlisted anti-Trump actor Robert De Niro. Skipping ahead, it says we already knew that former number three in Biden's Department of Justice, Matthew Colangelo, was hired to help jumpstart the lawfare against Trump in Manhattan, as pointed out by Margo Cleveland. So they've got this Colangelo guy. He's a Biden guy. And he's helping brag. He's helping with the case. I mean, Trump can't even comment on this. these conflicts of interest. I mean, he basically just has to be general. Judge Mershon is conflicted. He should have recused himself. And you get into the detail and you think, this is third world banana republic stuff right here. That clip from Steve Hilton, he's right. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's predecessor, Cyrus Vance, previously hired three outside lawyers from a firm that hosted a $2,800 per plate fundraiser for Biden in 2020. I mean, there's just conflicts of interest all over the place. There's reasonable doubt all over the place. But the jury's from Manhattan. I guess it's seven men and five women. Three attorneys on the in the mix. We'll see what happens. It's interesting timing, all this, together with a lot of other things that are happening in the world, even with God's work. I mentioned De Niro. Here's Dennis Quaid on whether or not he would. Well, first, I think Pierce asked him, you know, just what he thought of Trump. This is clip six.
What do you think of Trump?
I think I'm going to vote for him.
Really?
Yeah, in the next election. Yes, I am.
Are you ready for the blowback?
I was ready not to vote for Trump until what I saw is more than politics. I see a weaponization of our justice system.
Yeah.
And a challenge to our Constitution us as Americans that I don't think we're going to have. And, you know, Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the world. Mm. And they haven't been able to really get him on anything. It is in the last campaign and in 16 and, you know, and in 20, I found myself going, oh, please don't do that. Please don't say that. You know, it's like these things have come out of his mouth. And but as president, the only thing I liked about Trump was everything he did.
Right.
That's a brilliant point right there at the end. It's one that we make often on this program. It's based on Matthew 7 verses, not that that's what the actor there was thinking of, but it's Matthew 7 verses 16 to 20. Judge him by the fruits. What did he do? The thing about it this time around, they can call him Hitler all that they want. But as I said earlier, in 2021, he did step aside. He did fly home to Mar-a-Lago. But before that, you have 4 years. You have a track record. You have fruits. You can look, okay, what was it like when Trump was in office? You see how desperate the opposition is. He's going to vote for Trump. He looked for, I didn't play all the clip, it was 3 or 4 minutes, but, you know, he's looked for every reason not to vote for him. But this time around, and what concerns him the most? The weaponization of the Department of Justice. That was brought on in large part by the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. If Joe Obama's losing Hollywood actors, minorities, you know, blacks, Hispanics, there was one, you know, radical leftist on, I think it was Gutfeld's show last night. He was going on about a statement that Trump had supposedly made about suspending the Constitution, and then later he amended it or whatever. And that, I mean, that just that convinced him that Trump is Hitler. Here again, another tweet. Quaid acknowledged, you know, there's things he says that, you know, it does bother me a little bit. But when I look at what he does, when I look at the fruits, I like what I see. What do you see when you look at Joe Biden? Play clip seven.
And is Biden simply too old? Is that the biggest problem for him?
I don't feel he's at the helm.
Right.
I don't feel he's there. And I feel that he says things to get votes, not that he truly believes in them.
I don't feel he's at the helm or that he's even there. Wow. This is what Donald Trump's running up against. We'll wait for the conviction. Hopefully the news of a conviction or an acquittal or something in between. Hopefully it'll happen this week. so that we can get on with it. They've put all their eggs in this basket, though, Alvin Bragg. And if this collapses, nothing else is going to go forward fast enough to keep Trump from campaigning. You know what else is kind of funny about all this? Is it's meant to keep Donald Trump from getting out there on the campaign trail. And yet, who has campaigned more between Trump and Biden? Biden, you never see him out on the campaign trail. You see a staged speech here and there. He's getting excited about an Oval Office speech if Trump is convicted. And yet Trump, I mean, Friday comes and he's on the road to campaign through the weekend or to campaign on Wednesdays. Meanwhile, in these other cases, this is from just the news regarding the documents case in Florida. Federal Judge Eileen Cannon denied Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith's request to impose a gag order against former President Donald Trump in his federal classified documents case. This is what happens when you get a judge that's fair. It says here, she said that Smith's request was wholly lacking in substance and professional courtesy. Cannon warned Smith that failure to comply with the requirements she has outlined for non-emergency motions could result in sanctions. So a bit of a smackdown for Jack Smith's effort to go after Donald Trump for all the napkins and the memorabilia that he took with him to Mar-a-Lago. When we come back, we're going to play the Celtic Throne promo yet again to get you excited about tomorrow night's show in Fort Myers, Florida. We've got Sarasota coming up on Sunday evening and then Jacksonville next Tuesday night. You can get to all of the information about those shows and how to get tickets at CelticThrone.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
Professional show that was on par with anything I've ever seen.
Congratulations.
congratulations on the amazing performance. I'm delighted to be part of it.
Inspiring this nation. And that's something that we need right now.
General Flynn's comment there toward the end of that promo. You're inspiring this nation, and that's something we need right now. We need inspiration. We need a positive, hopeful message in a world full of negativity, in a world full of discouragement and depression, a world full of division and strife, fighting, anger, division all over the place. We do need to immerse ourselves in uplifting messages, and there is a message in Celtic Throne. You saw the list of cities there at the end of the promo. Tomorrow night, as I say, Fort Myers, Florida. Sam and I both will be in attendance, along with many other friends in the crowd. So we'll look forward to possibly seeing you in Florida. In recent shows, I've emphasized the point of urgency, just how important it is for us to step it up as we draw closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Paul brings out this point in Hebrews 10. So much more as you see the day approaching. The tendency in human nature is to kind of go and bury your head in the sand when things really intensify, when the pressure is on. You want to run from it like Jonah did, the prophet Jonah. Another prophet, the prophet Joel, he said at the start of his short letter in the Old Testament, the word of the eternal that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, he received this word from God. And what did he do with it? What if he just would have sat on it? What if he just would have gone and put it on a shelf somewhere and said, I don't know, I'm not interested. I mean, as I said, that's what Jonah wanted to do. And God had to give him quite a prod to go forward with this message. Verse 2 says, hear this. So he received the word from God. And then the prophet Joel says, hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers? I mean, this is a message that's going to impact the entire world, God's message. That's why it's just so ridiculous sounding to hear, you know, a Hollywood actor talk about how one individual in the nation is going to destroy the world. Well, it is true that one individual can have quite a profound impact on a nation, on many nations. even the whole world. What we're talking about here is God's message, God's warning. That will impact the whole world. Hear this. Give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. That's what God is doing with his work today. He's pleading with all the inhabitants of the land. It's an urgent message in the book, the prophet Joel, Christ's Bride and the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord, I mean, that's a sobering message to deliver. But like it says in the title of my father's booklet, I mean, it's also about Jesus Christ's bride. That's what's coming right at the end of the Great Tribulation period, when the return of Christ happens, and then there's going to be this royal marriage between Jesus Christ and his bride. There's a lot to be hopeful for and a lot to be encouraged by, a lot to be positive about. My father wrote this, that book, by the way, the prophet Joel, or it's a booklet, I guess, more precisely, but you can get to that at thetrumpet.com, or if you call our 800 number, you can order a free copy, 1-866-930-3024. It says here, Joel saw the intense urgency of God's message. He received it and immediately began to proclaim, "Hear this. This is an end time message. So God will obviously reveal the full meaning of this book today." It says further on, those people who get behind and support God's message are his very elect. Further on, it says, God's very elect show their alarm and urgency by doing everything they can to deliver Joel's message. They are emotionally and spiritually involved. God's emotional urgency lives in his holy mountain. It is a time for acute passions, it says. Time in this age is running out. The world needs an inspiring message, especially at this time, as General Flynn said there in that promo. It's very near, my father says. There is no time to lose. We really do have to make the most of every day that we have to do this work. We have to pray daily, as the outline for prayer says in Matthew 6. We have to pray every day with a focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as it says later in Matthew 6, verse 33. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Put the priorities where that they need to be. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus only had 33 years to get his mission accomplished. He had to work hard and fast even. Kind of like Nehemiah and those that repaired the wall in the Old Testament. 56 days, I think it was, to put that back in order. Even in the secular world, from time to time, you hear of examples. Steve Jobs, he told a friend early in life that he thought he was going to die early. I think he died at 56. So he said to his friend, "I've got to hurry. I've got to make my mark. I've got to do everything I can before time runs out." I mean, the clock is ticking on all of us. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. No matter your age, I mean, if you think about the clock ticking, we're just a little ways away from the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the marriage between Christ and the church. And so if you're 25 or 45 or 85, we're coming down to the home stretch here. It's time to be urgent. In John's Gospel, the love of God, my father wrote this, "If you're a man who is committed to and whose passion is in God's work, as it was with Jesus Christ, and you marry a woman who is only partially committed to God's work, what will happen in your marriage?" He's talking about dating and dating toward marriage and so on, but how obviously you want to be with someone who's committed and passionate so that both of you together can make for a dynamic and fruitful and productive union, one flesh, as the Bible calls it. Further on, it says, let's make sure that we put God first and let God direct us in our pursuit of marriage and some of the other things that he wrote about. And you think about marriage and what it points to. It says over in Revelation 19 and verse 7, here again, the booklet, Joel, the prophet Joel, and then it talks about the marriage to Christ and also the day of the Lord that precedes that. There's a mixture. It's bittersweet, as it says about the little book over in Revelation 10, because the great tribulation and the day of the Lord is going to engulf this world. Mass tragedy and suffering. Suffering on a mass scale. And you can't run away from it. But then what happens after? Revelation 19 and verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. See, the church will have been prepared. The church will be ready to marry Christ. The church will be watching unto prayer, as it says in 1 Peter 4. The church will be doing the daily sacrifice, spiritually speaking. The church will be seeking that kingdom, seeking that union with Jesus Christ. My father wrote in the New Throne, this was actually a Royal Vision article, these are the most earth-shaking events you'll ever see, and here is this little church right in the middle of all of it. Think about how God will have to orchestrate his work and what he wants to do in the midst of this explosion of satanic chaos. God is not only preparing in the universe and all over the earth for these unfolding events, but he's also preparing Christ's bride. And even when you look at world events, I mean, here is God's church, God's work. It's right in the middle of all of these swirling events that are just shaking the earth in a figurative sense, sometimes literally. We've got quite a few earthquakes. As Matthew 24, it says there, Jesus prophesied, you know, we're going to see more and more of these earth-shaking events as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ. In John's gospel, the love of God, my father, he talks about that coming marriage to Christ. He says, is that marriage vivid in your mind? Do you think about that marriage or when that marriage is consummated and you're in that headquarters temple with Jesus Christ? We've got to make that marriage, that future, vivid in our minds. And if we're not urgent, if we're just ho-hum about it, if we're not doing the daily, it will become ho-hum. That's just the way of human nature. Those pulls against the flesh are so strong. It says throughout, well, let me just skip ahead. We're about out of time. It says in, this is again, John's gospel, we were born to achieve this future. This is the greatest marriage there ever will be for all time in all the universe. This is an epic event that will never be duplicated. Unless you have this vision in your mind, you will be susceptible to falling away. This is what's happened to so many of the Laodiceans. They've fallen away from this royal vision, this purpose, this plan of God. God is reproducing himself through family. God instituted marriage and family from the very beginning because that's what he is. As you see in Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us, it was God in the Word, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then in the very next verse, he talks about making man male and female, just the two genders, that's right. And then he instituted the marriage union in Genesis 2. And he said that these two should be one flesh, one family. That's what God's creating in the spiritual realm. I just read it to you in Revelation 19. Jesus Christ is to marry the bride. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15 refers to Christ as the second Adam. You've got Adam, Eve, and of course, Satan deceived them in Genesis 3. And then the whole world was cut off from God's purpose and plan, except for those few that God would call out. But then Jesus Christ comes as the second Adam, and his bride is being prepared for him. There's quite a few other verses I could get into on that subject. But we're out of time. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.